This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Keith. Klang Valley residents that live along the Putrajaya MRT line can rejoice. The long-awaited Phase 2 of the line running from Kampung Batu to Putrajaya Central will be operational tomorrow, March 16th at 3 p.m. This means that passengers can ply the full 57.7-kilometer line covering 36 stations from Sungai Buloh all the way to Putrajaya Central. It also means easier connections to KLIA and KLIA to airports from downtown KL.
So the question we're looking at this morning, though, is the nexus between better public transport links and property development. There's a specific term for this, transit-oriented development, or TOD, which is a planning and design strategy that clusters jobs, housing, services and amenities together around public transit systems. A popular example would be Singapore and the way townships are built around MRT stations.
So with the crisscross of rail networks across the Klang Valley, does this then translate into more transit-oriented developments that are accessible and affordable? Joining us to discuss this and the broader outlook for the Malaysian property sector is Dato' N.K. Tong, President of the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association, or REDA. N.K., good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. Can I start off with asking you, how prevalent are transit-oriented developments in the Klang Valley? Are we seeing a proportionate uptick in TODs with the growth of the MRT line?
Good morning. I think what we'll find is over time it'll become more prevalent. You do see some examples, but they tend to be further out from the city, typically in the suburbs. And really, you know, when you think about transport oriented developments, it's a chicken and egg situation because MRTs want to go to where the population are at. But at the same time, where there is population, there's also built up density. So the opportunity for transport oriented developments are lesser. However, if the authorities take a far-sighted view of the expansion of population in Klang Valley, they may choose to site some stations where there are opportunities in terms of available land to develop transport oriented developments. So it's like I said, chicken and egg. Which came first, the density, therefore we put a station, or look, this is greenfield, so we put a station here and then the density goes up. And I think a combination of the two is healthy.
So from a developer standpoint, what makes a successful TOD and what makes a not quite so successful one?
I think I'm not sure if we can think of unsuccessful ones, but really if there's an opportunity for greenfield developments, then the ease of connection from the property to the station is good. So, I mean, I'll give you an example, I guess, of one that is already developed, and then the MRT came along. The Bandar Utama stopped in the MRT one, and you know you have a shopping center, you have a hotel, you have offices, and then fortunately you have the opportunity to still locate a station within that whole neighborhood. So I guess it isn't impossible to integrate a TOD station into an existing development, but probably easier if it's greenfield where you know you can design around it. But like I said, the concern then is whether the density will build up fast enough. I just want to step back a minute. You know, we're looking at this MRT network and we're always saying, oh, you know, it should be better, you know, the connection could be this, that, the other. But let's not forget, we're still quite new at this game. You know, the oldest underground in the world is London. But I think a lot of people don't realize this year it's 160 years old. So we will evolve likewise over time.
I mean, Singapore is often cited as the model for successful transit-oriented development. I mean, if you look down south to our neighbors, are there lessons from them or other cities' experiences that we should look to replicate here?
Yeah, I think to be fair, Singapore has a unique set of circumstances because the government owns the majority of the land. So when they sited their stations, they probably knew who the landowners were themselves. And they had already anticipated what the opportunities were for development around them. I think we can also learn from our neighbors. In fact, we can learn from all transport-oriented developments around the world and see how we can, I mean, the name of the game is increasing density within the stations to take advantage of the location of the station. I mean, the reality is, you know, they say, well, maybe they say we should not be not more than 800 meters or 400 meters. In Malaysia, with this weather and the heat and the rain, some people will say, look, if it's not 50 meters away, it's too far. So I think, you know, learning from our neighbors in Singapore, finding opportunities to develop density in the neighborhood of a station or even increasing density from the existing buildings around.
NK, before the MRT starts services tomorrow, we've already got the MRT1, we've got the LRT, the different LRTs and even KTM tracks as well. How have you seen property prices affected along these lines in the past?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to, I mean, I don't have specific data, but I think it's also hard to attribute the property price increase to specific stations. But I think anecdotally, over time, it will increase. And it's a little bit like it's a network effect, right? If two people have if only one person has a fax machine, it's not worth much. Two is worth more. And then the moment you develop it, more fax machines, then it suddenly becomes very valuable. Sorry, showing my age, you're talking about fax. But I think it's the same with transportation, you know, a few stations, one line, two lines, three lines, the more we add to the network, the more valuable the network becomes. And I think by definition, also the real estate that's located next to the network. And the other second thing I think I would highlight is Malaysians' concept of time value of money. You know, we might want to queue like half an hour to save a few ringgit. But over time, we realize that actually for most of us, you know, minimum wage is, what, 7, 8, 9 ringgit an hour. So as time goes by, we realize that time is valuable. And if we can save time, we're willing to pay more. And that paying more is sometimes translated into the real estate that we buy to stay in. And if we can save on our travel time, we may be willing to pay more for the real estate.
Don't feel so bad about the fax machine. I even know what a telex is, by the way. can potential property, those who are selling their property, put a premium to the fact that they are actually situated along any of these transit systems?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, but again, they can put a premium on it. It's a question of when. As and when the market will recognize that premium and want to be there, right? So it's a supply and demand issue. But as I said, as the network improves, as people realize their travel time, okay, so their travel time is safe when travel time increases. So as the city develops, there's more congestion. And when it's more congestion, what used to take, you know, 30 minutes to get into the city by car now becomes 40, 45. Then you find that your people in the neighborhood realize, wait, I'd much rather be next to the station, and how much can I offer you to relieve you of your property?
NK, Malaysia's public transport model share remains low, and last mile connectivity is a perennial issue. What kind of policies or how should local government, how can they help to improve the integration of public transport and land use planning? I mean, from your perspective as a developer, what kind of efforts have actually paid off?
Yeah, I think that's the key to leveraging on the transport-oriented development model is to, like you say, increase the modal share of public transport. And I believe DBKL City Hall of Kuala Lumpur is already looking into it, as I'm sure is the Selangor government. And specifically, they're looking at micro-mobility around these stations, right? You know, proper walkways to access the station, bicycle lanes. They're looking at all forms of bus transits, rapid transit, Go KL, and so anything that can get people to the station quicker. I guess again, if we look overseas, you know, whether you're in Switzerland or Singapore or Korea or Japan, some of the bus services are so reliable you can set your watch to it, right? They have LED displays that tell you exactly what time which bus number is coming, and you know where it's taking you and how long it'll take you. If we haven't achieve that type of sophistication, at least more regular connections or buses that come every 10 minutes, for example, so that that last mile, what they say, when you get off the MRT or when you want to get on the MRT is smooth and easy. And that will encourage people to use the MRT.
NK, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Dato' NK Tong, President of the Real Estate and Housing Developers Association Malaysia, also known as REDA, talking to us about the nexus between public transport and also property development. A lot of factors to consider there. And really, he's saying when it comes to TODs, chicken and egg, right?
Does the
station come first? Does the development come first? There's so many factors that go into it. Something to keep watch on as we see the MRT line fully reopen tomorrow. 7:59 in the morning, we're heading into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and then after that on the breakfast grill, Chong Jensan is speaking to Arshad Rashid, the chairman of Indonesia's Chamber of Commerce. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.